Speaking of which, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is the one and only Bob McKenzie. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? I don't know if I'd mention McKenzie in the same breath as Grisham, to be honest.
Yeah, your books
are
better.
Yeah, well, he's fiction.
Your books are better.
Yeah, so am I.
Challenging your genre.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Dave advertised that he has a lot of your books signed, and he hasn't sold them for cash yet. So,
yeah, that's because they're not worth anything.
Not yet.
Not yet is the key word. Speaking of not yet, this deal has not been ratified yet, though. Is yet the key word there?
Yeah, for now, no doubt. You know, the player vote doesn't close until 6 p.m. Eastern time. The Board of Governors call started at 4, and I'm going to presume that it's still ongoing as we speak. So, you know, I mean, I'm not in the prediction business, but there's part of me that would be really surprised if this doesn't get ratified. And yet I don't want to create the impression that, you know, it's all, you know, kumbaya and love and everybody loves everything about it. There's nothing to love about what's happened to the economics of the game if you're an NHL owner or if you're an NHL player. And, you know, the revenue of hockey has taken an enormous hit. And coming back for 1920 will repair a little bit of the damage. But let's be honest, there's every reason to believe this damage could continue well into 2021, that it's not even close to being the negative impact of the virus hasn't fully been felt yet. We don't know if there's going to be fans in the stands for 2021, and if there are, we don't know how many or when. And so, you know, the players still are facing a very uncertain future, but, and so are the owners, but, you know, approving this return to play, and more importantly, I think, but it's all linked together, so it's one and the same. But the CBA extension, the four-year CBA extension on top of the 2 years that we've gone along with the transition rules, gives players and owners a six-year runway to repair the damage that's been done and will be done to the economics of the game. And if you don't do that, you know what? And this is why I'm relatively optimistic to a point that it'll get ratified, is because if you don't do that, then we are looking at something so incredibly bleak for the next couple of years in the National Hockey League and for NHL players and owners that I'm not sure either side could deal with it. You know, and again, I don't know the exact numbers, but people have thrown around things like, well, the players are going to lose more than 50 or 60% of their salary in escrow for next season if they don't approve this deal. And the owners are going to have a dramatic decrease in the salary cap to maybe $60 or $65 million. How do teams even manage that? It's not whether NHL general managers could manage it. It's whether what the numbers are the numbers. And if you don't have an accommodation long-term between the owners and the players in the form of a CBA extension, then you're really looking at just letting the market conditions of the economic loss dictate what the salary cap and what the escrow will look like for next season and the year after. And it would seem to be untenable for both the owners and the players. So for that reason, I think they're going to ratify it, but I don't know that. And, well, maybe we'll know in the next hour or two.
Bob, at a very different time, I was on the labor calls for players, and there were always players with big voices, and, you know, they would bring up their own personal situation or one that they felt represented a group of players. And I'm sure those players are making noise right now. But a couple of weeks back, you had two back-to-back pretty public tweets. The first by Artemi Panarin that was a very professionally, almost legally written tweet that dealt with escrow. And then right back up was Ryan Kesler, you know, who speaks his mind quite freely. And then it quieted after that. And it was almost like those were shots across at some point to see what the temperature was amongst the players. And then it was almost like somebody said, just not the right time for that right now.
Well, I think privately there probably are, you know, I'm sure there's more than Artemi Panarin and Ryan Kesler that don't love what's coming down the pipe. But as I said, nobody's got to love what's coming down the pipe. It's just how are you going to handle it? See, here's the thing. And I think the both tweets, both statements by Panarin and Ryan Kessler, the underlying premise of both, even though they were expressed, as you said, in completely different ways, is that these players don't love the system that the players are in. You know, it's a hard cap. It's a 50-50 split of hockey-related revenue. And so when there is this economic crisis created by the pandemic, you know, the players really bear the brunt of a lot of it. And they are in debt to the owners because of the loss of hockey-related revenue. And that's not to say the owners aren't suffering, too. They are. But there's basically the meter is running on what the players owe the owners. And you can, you know, and Ryan Kessler was really blunt about it, because Ryan Kessler, along with a number of other players, I think, and Ryan Kessler's agent, Kurt Overhart. I believe Kurt Overhart is one of the agents who so doesn't like the system that currently exists and has existed in one form or another since 2005, that he looks at, they may, Overhart and many of his clients and other players as well, may look at this as, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us. We've never had more leverage in some respects, even though we've never had more economic loss in the short term. So maybe we should suck it up and go through a horrendous couple of years and then fight to dramatically alter the system so that it's not a hard cap system. Now, the flip side of that is, we know how Gary Bettman and the owners feel about the hard cap system and what they were prepared to do in 04 and 05 to get it. Shut down the season, no problem. Maybe shut down a second season. We don't know. It never got to that because the players couldn't deal with that concept that maybe they would have to go a second full season to avoid getting linkage of a hard cap system. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of other players, though, that say, hey, man, we can't fathom what the next 2 years would look like. And we can't get into that fight to dramatically alter the system right now. And we're better to take the next 6 years to mitigate the damage of the pandemic. And then if we want on more solid footing, then maybe that's when we make our stand and say, okay, you know what? Enough's enough. No more hard cap. But that's a battle for another day. So I'm sure there's players that feel both ways. And I guess we'll find out within an hour or two how many more feel one way than the other.
Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, joining us on Overdrive. As you just alluded to, we could find out about the ratification of this deal before our show is done. You did break a little bit of news yesterday in terms of what the Hub City hotels would be and which teams would be staying at each hotel. And you got quite the reaction on Hotel X in Toronto from those who are outside of Toronto who don't realize Hotel X is actually the hotel's name. That hotel in particular is in Exhibition Place. Is the plan for Exhibition Place to be sort of a hub for players as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure to what extent. It's obviously that hotel. You know, five teams are scheduled to stay at Hotel X on the exhibition grounds. Seven teams in the East are scheduled to stay at the Royal York Hotel. So the Royal York Hotel is a bubble in and of itself. It's basically locked down entirely for NHL use and all its facilities. Same thing with Hotel X. I'm not sure how far beyond Hotel X that extends on the exhibition grounds. There may be other facilities on the exhibition grounds that are part of that. I don't know specifically, but you know, that's certainly the plan, and they divided up the hotels based on merit. So the Hotel X is probably a little newer, nicer facility than the Royal York. So the top five teams in the East, you know, Boston, Tampa Bay, Washington, Philadelphia, and the Pittsburgh Penguins get Hotel X. The remaining seven teams, including the Leafs, get the Royal York.
Bob, throughout these negotiations, what did you learn about the state of the league and the relationship that both the league and the NHLPA have with each other?
Well, I think, you know, I would say this, regardless of what happens here with the ratification. And as I say, I'm kind of expecting ratification, but I always allow for any possibility. But I would say this, that, you know, and I got no dog in this fight, no horse in this race, but I've really been quite complimentary to both the NHL and the NHLPA for recognizing that these are extraordinary times and getting down to brass tacks and getting the return to play protocols done and getting a CBA extension done. It would have been very easy for either side to get real ornery and draw lines in the sand and say, we have to have this or we're not going to do a deal. And in relatively short order, under extreme duress, they got it done. And I think an incredible number of people on both sides of the fence, NHL and NHLPA, worked extraordinarily ridiculous hours, you know, literally 24/7 for the better part of weeks, some people getting very little or no sleep to try and put this thing together. Mm-hmm. And I still can't say with certainty, and I don't think anybody can, that we're going to get to phase four and everything's going to be perfect and it's going to all go off without a hitch and they're going to start playing games on August 1st and we're going to award the Stanley Cup in the first week of October and yay, way to go, everybody. Because we've got to get to the bubble first and there are lots of inherent risks with players still in phase two until Monday and in phase three from Monday to the 26th of July that could derail this thing. But I think you got to hand it to the NHL and the NHLPA for doing everything they can to try to make this happen and to do it cooperatively when, you know, in an environment where historically they're not automatically wired to do things cooperatively and do things more adversarially.
Bob, we're almost caught by surprise by pure hockey news when we're so focused on the pandemic and the CBA and ratification, all that. But yesterday, some hockey news did come out with Lindy Ruff being named the head coach of New Jersey Devils and Tommy Fitzgerald, I believe, title vice president and general manager. And so the hockey news that drops in on us, maybe a little unexpected, that Lindy Ruff was employed as an assistant coach with the Rangers, who are still involved. But had you heard that that was looming there, or did that just catch everybody a little bit by surprise?
Well, we knew that he was a candidate to be the head coach, along with Peter Laviolette, Helen Nesbitt, the interim head coach, who was the assistant before they made the coaching change of John Hines going, who ultimately ended up in Nashville. So we thought there was a possibility the hiring could take place, but we also thought there was a possibility that whole coaching search would get shut down because we didn't know for an absolute fact that Tom Fitzgerald was going to lose the interim tag and he was going to get the GM's job full time. Pierre LeBrun reported yesterday that the New Jersey Devil ownership group had went pretty far down the road with both former LA King assistant general manager Mike Fiuta and current assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Lawrence Gilman. And we're talking multiple interviews and deep dives on potential employment for them as the general manager. So it was between Fitzgerald, Fiuta, and Gilman. And we thought the coaching thing had been shut down until such time that they made the decision on the GM. Well, obviously what happened is that they made the decision on Tommy Fitzgerald staying and losing the interim tag. And once that happened, Tommy Fitzgerald knew that he was predisposed to hire a coach, and he had the choice of Nasruddin or Laviolette or Lindy Ruff. And of the three, Lindy was the one that was maybe the surprise candidate, because after Lindy lost his job in Dallas, we kind of assumed that, you know, maybe he wasn't going to be a head coach again. Maybe it was, you know, going to be assistant coaching for him after having had runs in Buffalo and what have you. And instead, he's the guy. And Tommy Fitzgerald has direct experience with him dating back to their days with the Florida Panthers, which is a long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, Tom Fitzgerald thinks that Lindy's the guy to come in and really spearhead a development phase for a very young New Jersey Devil team. So I think it caught us off a little off guard because we weren't sure what the timing would be on the managerial thing. But once the managerial thing got taken care of with Fitzgerald getting the job, obviously Fitzgerald was in a position to announce the new head coach.
And I'm sure Lindy Ruff is now concerned about what his players will be doing over the next couple of months because, you know, if you're not in this restart, you're kind of lost in the mix in a way. Is there, and I haven't heard anything recently, but are there still plans for those teams that didn't make the play-in rounds to have some sort of training camp just to get their players on the ice and get them in some sort of organized practice?
I've not heard anything about them being able to do that in phase three. I know that the Devils were amongst, you know, that group of seven teams that would love to have put together, you know, their own phase three. That is, have a camp of some description and get players to it and just try to break up the monotony and that feeling that they're almost shut down and out of business, in a manner of speaking. But I don't believe that's happening anytime soon. And so what teams instead will be looking at, I'm sure, is asking the league if somewhere along the line in the fall, is it possible to put something together to try and, you know, break up that monotony. And also, I mean, all these, hey, there's so many uncertainties here. Is junior hockey going to be around? Even the European leagues that were going to start in September, now we're seeing they've pushed back some of their start dates to November. College hockey doesn't look like it's going to, certainly the Ivy League schools and ostensibly the teams they play with in the ECAC are probably now looking at the earliest at a January 1st start. What do teams do with all their young players? What do they do with their American League players? And will they be able to put anything together in the way of development camps come the fall to try and get these guys back on ice? Nobody knows the answer to any of that right now.
Well, before I let you go, let me refresh at TSN Bob McKenzie. No, you didn't tweet anything while we were talking. So no news to report yet, but we always appreciate you coming on the show. And once you can finally report this is done, then hopefully you can really enjoy this weekend.
All righty. Thanks, guys. I hope so. I've got a golf game set up with Pooley on Monday, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
Our coordinator set that up.
Yes, he did. Our social coordinator.
Okay. I'm guessing it's not the Quizmaster.
No, definitely not.
He's not invited.
Okay. Take care, awesome.
Bob. Thanks, guys.
This is Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider. Bob McKenzie joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom's open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com.